This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Rewind the dynamite from the post-rest in sight. AEW lighting up the fuse. Sit back and enjoy the bubbly. As we hear from John and Waiting, where we're going, we don't need roads. And if the buck stops here, this thing might blow. Everything you hear, opinions of the show. And if you don't like it, go to the forums and let them know.
The show rolls on. It is John Pollock, Poison Rana's own Braden Harrington, and from Vero Beach, Florida, Jordan Goodman himself.
Yes, yes. In a bedroom. There's a bed behind me, gentlemen. How exciting.
We see that. Yes. Look at that. Very, very, we're coming from all different points. So I thank you both for riding shotgun here for the Dynamite review. If you would like the XL edition of Rewind to Dynamite, you get all the news of the day. Jordan, Braden, and I, we just chatted about the passing of Steve McMichael, some WrestleMania 41 reactions from Braden and Jordan, and their different viewing experiences of the show, plus Dwayne Johnson appearing on the Pat McAfee show, which was quite the interview that DJ participated in on Tuesday.
Also, you can't forget the kidney stone chat. Thanks, Jordan.
That's what you get at the XL level. Okay, so
it's a WrestleMania detox. Okay, that's what it is.
That's it. Yeah, if you detox too heavy, you might run into some kidney issues. So on that note, gotta listen to the whole show for the proper context there. I can't do it any justice. Do want to let everybody know we do have a new edition of Pollock and Thurston out today with the Cubs fan from Lucha Blog joining us. And Thursday, for our Double Double and Espresso members, Neil Flanagan and I are presenting our book club, where we are chatting about Soraya's new book, Hell in Boots. I remember, Braden, once upon a time, you have interviewed one page, did you not?
Yes. I still am a fan of Soraya. I know she's kind of stepped away from the wrestling recently, but I was a huge fan of Paige in her NXT, WWE run. Had the pleasure to chat with her. If I remember, she was talking about The Rock helping her out. I think she was helping promote the movie that she did, and now she's got a book. So isn't it weird that she had a movie come out before the book? Doesn't it usually go the other way around? However, the movie was pretty good, except who was Vince Vaughn trying to play? I never got the answer to that.
Well, maybe the book is quite a page turner. See?
Yeah, very nice.
We're moving on to Dynamite, everyone. Tonight.
That's what we do here.
Now, this was not planned at all. I did not even realize this till I sat down to watch Dynamite tonight. Okay, Jordan knows where I'm going here. This is the venue where I first met Jordan Goodman.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
The UNO Lakefront Arena in 2018.
Yeah.
In New Orleans. Wonderful.
Yeah, in New Orleans. Greatest city for WrestleMania. For those that don't know, I worked with Ring of Honor in a branding and communications role for a couple years. And my first Supercard of Honor was 2018 in this very building. And it was very important for me to meet one John Pollock on that trip amongst many people I met. But John, I told you, you were the one I was most excited to meet. And that was kind of true. And we sat for 25 minutes and chatted.
Yeah, Wei just disappeared for a long time. So you and I had a great chat together. And I said, you know what? One day we'll be sitting back talking kidney stones on a podcast. And Jordan said, it's a deal. I'll see you soon.
Yes.
Yeah, and not a coincidence at all that Jordan Goodman comes to Ring of Honor and they draw their biggest attendance to date that night in New Orleans.
6K.
Sticks around for the next year, and they go to Madison Square Garden. That is the Jordan Goodman effect right there.
Yeah. Went out on top, brother.
Well, tonight's edition of Dynamite, did it draw 6,000? It did not. WrestleTix reporting 2,100 tickets distributed. So I do feel the shows, like, they are, I think they had really hit kind of like their valley towards the end of 2024. These are more energetic shows. I'm generally enjoying the shows, but we haven't really seen the attendance hit that. It's not affected the attendance yet. And like, we will see over time if that starts to trickle up, but thus far, like, they're generally, and you know, tell me if you think differently, Braden, like, it does seem like they're well-received shows, but it's like, they are kind of stuck in that gear when it comes to selling tickets, at least for the TV right now. The pay-per-views are still doing fine ticket wise.
Like, everyone's complaining, obviously we're coming off of WrestleMania weekend, we're all wrestled out, but like, WrestleMania tickets were basically a mortgage on your home to get a family of four to go to it, essentially. But AEW still is like not necessarily cheap, so that could be an issue, especially you know in these hard times, brother. Maybe just make things a little bit more affordable, and I feel like that actually might help bring more people. Or give tickets away sometimes, like WCW, WWF, they used to do it all the time. Like, there feels like there would be people going to this if they maybe they knew about it and it was affordable. But that is, I also do think, is an issue. But also, WWE is just so hot right now, maybe people would rather spend their money to go see the A show, to go see the hot product. So I don't know. Like, I still think AEW's been on this uprise of the content.
I'm curious, Jordan's thoughts as well, as someone who has probably, you know, navigated these issues.
And I'd push back on that, Braden. I actually went to Dynamite in Baltimore a couple of weeks ago, and I was looking at Ticketmaster, as I tend to do, and you can get in for at like $30 or less if you went with a few people. If anything, parking cost more than it could have cost to get in the building. And in these smaller college arenas, just about every seat is a good seat. And to your point, John, like, these recent shows have been solid. The recent crowds have been really engaged and hot. And I think it just takes time. Look, TNA is in the past year, and obviously there's been many things that have helped, like the WWE relationship, but they've just been slow and steady with consistency for years now. And it's taken as much time for it to start to pay off. Same may be true for this company.
Yeah, I think there is a certain level of like that patience. If you believe you're putting out a product that you are happy with, and no one is ever going to be, you know, 100% approving of the product you're putting out. But I'm just looking to like last week, and that was so much buzz that came off of that spring breakthrough that I really believe was one of their best Dynamites to date. And you can't do that every week, but I think you want to be able to capitalize on certain areas. Like, when WWE is not doing house shows, there's a lot of markets that are not being served any longer. And we hear every week of fans that are just stating, like, I just can't afford to go to these shows anymore. And there is, like, these are still wrestling fans. Like, there are areas that you should aggressively market if you are AEW, of being something that can capitalize on these areas that WWE cannot fulfill.
And so maybe part of it is a marketing issue. So Master P opened the show, obviously. He has the connection to the university and obviously the city of New Orleans. From my understanding, this was announced today that he'd be appearing, maybe yesterday. I'm curious how much, if at all, there was a partnership with Master P the past month to market this show locally or not.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear about this till yesterday. Like, there was no, and this might have just been a last minute deal put together, but that's, it's other things. Like, if you can build those kinds of relationships and markets and have that kind of on the ground marketing push and getting someone like honestly, like doing local media, there's probably a lot more local media that is interested in talking to a Master P than, you know, random AEW wrestler as well. But yes, this was our
throw. Like, the local media, when they come here, wasn't really any. When they've come to markets outside of Toronto, like I'm in Toronto, and like outside of Ontario, outside of the city in Ontario, they ran all these other little shows with collisions or whatnot. And I work in some local media, and I'll tell you, we didn't do advertising, and I was like shocked, especially the city of Hamilton, London, Ontario. So it made me question, are you doing this like everywhere you go? Like, is there not a promo team or people that go out there and help spread the word? Like when WWE comes to town, my phone is riddled with ads. I'm getting it on, you know, social media. I'm getting it on listening to the radio, but like you hear it and you see it everywhere. It's not quite the same with AEW.
In defense of the company, I know from experience, now Ring of Honor, Sinclair Ring of Honor was nowhere near the level of AEW. I mean, they're on TBS and TNT, same time every week. And they certainly are getting a lot of income for the distribution rights. I don't know the inner workings of this company. I have friends in the company. I don't ask them about how the company is structured, et cetera. When I was working at Ring of Honor, I kind of was the extent of the marketing department on top of the communications department, on top of the branding department. I think people would be really surprised to learn how small of a crew we were for the output. Now, AEW obviously has more muscle, but there is a lot that goes into running a wrestling promotion 365 days a year that most people just don't consider. Yes, would it be ideal to really sit down and come up with a really strong, far-reaching marketing plan for the New Orleans market for this one episode of Dynamite? Sure, of course it would be. But there's also 700 other things that are important too at any given day. So again, I don't know how they're structured, but I will say in defense, like it is not easy to do this day in and day out.
And it's also a company that is only now coming into this really sizable television deal that I'm very curious of, like a lot of this, it's like, I don't think anyone is watching AEW and saying, oh, you know what? The roster is just not at a certain level. Like that is not, to me, you always want to be replenishing and scouting. I think looking for younger talent, that's always a very big priority. But to me, it's building the infrastructure that I really hope this television deal, like we look 18 months from now and you see like the merchandise increases and promotion and marketing and kind of building like the, like that, that is what I don't think people appreciate of like this just monster that WWE has created internally. And it's the names that you've never heard of, that these departments that go so many people deep that are doing these specific tasks on a daily basis. And, you know, it's just, this is still a 5-year company that there's, you're going to be wearing a lot of hats, and there are going to be, you know, you are going to be spread thin, even as they're at this stage as a national touring company. But yes, Masterpiece started things off, of course, reuniting with Tony Schiavone, going back to the No Limit Soldiers days. And Master P is out. Oh my God. Look at that. He got that just for.
I just love Master P so much. Yeah, that's right. I did it for this show.
He introduces the new trios champions, Joe Shibata and Hobbs, and Joe, just like a kid on Christmas morning, make him say, oh, and he thanks Master P, all he does for New Orleans and the student athletes. So Master P cuts a promo. I thought Master P was great here. And Marina Shafir comes to distract, leading to the Death Riders blindsiding the champions. Moxley and Master P go face to face. I was so excited for physicality between these two, but it's Joe applying the Coquina clutch as Master P just cackles on the microphone. I was about to call him Mr. P. I just wrote down shorthand here. So he's choking out Moxley. And this was pretty much the Gunther Pat McAfee angle, with Moxley choking, being choked out and selling just like Pat McAfee did on Monday. The Young Bucks and Okada run out to stop Joe with a chair. And then Swerve shows up. So it's just new person showing up. It's all the baby faces out. The Bucks and Okada exit the ring to get away from Swerve, but but as they're going up the aisle, Kenny Omega comes out, so you get another pop. He's got a chair, so the Bucks and Okada bail through the crowd, and all the baby faces are left in the ring as Joe accepts the challenge laid out by Moxley. He's going to take his title back, and they announce this for May 14th on the Beach Break edition of Dynamite that is happening at the Now Arena in Hoffman Estates next month. So quite a big segment to get all of the major stars out there in these first 15 minutes.
It was hard for me to not make the comparison of Travis Scott to Master P. However, a big difference in that one is arguably the most successful rapper today, and the other was maybe in that conversation a few decades ago.
Let's not forget an alumni of the Toronto Raptors as well.
Sure. And what came to mind was, like, pre-TKO-ish, WWE felt like it was a bit more aged in who it was reaching. Felt like middle-aged, elderly people, especially in just in their cultural resonance, whereas AEW felt like hot and young and fresh. And in only a few years, and especially post-TKO, it kind of feels like it's been flipped. I don't know if you guys like feel similar.
I feel like AEW, they've had Shaq, but like WWE's had Bad Bunny and streamers and all these other like current, more up to date kind of
WWE things. WWE like has done a fantastic job with the celebrities it has ingrained itself in. Like that has been, like, it was only a few years ago that we were starting off SmackDown with AC/DC. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's gotten like, they have gone after celebrities that are way more relevant to their youngest audience.
Like, to be fair, Master P obviously has the wrestling history, the connection, No Limit, you know, all that stuff. So it's like, okay, at least like there is that. And I think maybe they could have hit it over the head a little bit. You're mentioning city, like where they were today and everything. Like there could have been a bigger connection there. But it also, like, one of the highlights of the show was just him punching Moxley while he was in the sleeper in the coquina clutch. You could tell this was not like a bit they rehearsed. He was just like, yeah, I'm gonna get mine in there too. So he was about it, Master P. Weird that he was on Dynamite, but I didn't hate it.
I enjoyed Master P here. I thought he was he was not offensive in terms of the presentation here, and it did get the crowd like into things right off the gate, and just all this, like, the procession of all the baby faces that are eyeing this belt as well, with Joe at the forefront for the next challenge. Ricochet and Mark Briscoe is our first match of the show, and Ricochet, he starts smacking Briscoe's bald head, and lots of playing to the audience by Ricochet. He was very entertaining here. Briscoe would catch Ricochet off of a springboard into an exploder, and then a sliding D connects, misses the froggy bow, and after snapping the throat on the top, Ricochet hits this beautiful springboard 450. This looked amazing, so much that the crowd, they still chanted at him, "You still suck," even though this was a really tremendously hit springboard 450. And then it's Briscoe with a somersault dive through the ropes, huge lariat inside, and then Ricochet catches him, stacks him using the rope for leverage, and Briscoe just reverses, gets on top and hooks the leg and gets what I thought was like the surprise win here, as Mark Briscoe goes over and Ricochet attacks him with a chair afterwards and pulls out the scissors, with Kevin Knight running out, stopping Ricochet and taking the scissors away from him. And as he gets into the ring, he has to tell Briscoe, no, I'm not here to stab you. He was putting Mark Briscoe at ease. And obviously this is a direction, Jordan, that they're going with Kevin Knight and Ricochet at some future date.
Yeah, I enjoyed the whole presentation. First of all, Mark Briscoe, one of the kindest, hardest working, dependable people you could know or work with. I was pleasantly surprised to see the outcome. In fact, it was hard for me to get emotionally invested in the match because I thought there's no way that Briscoe would win this match. And then it kept going and then it kept building. And I'm like, huh, I want to get into this, but there's no way. And then he won with the roll up, and ultimately the whole deal moved the Ricochet character forward. But nice to see Mark Briscoe pull out the win. Also, small note, but that's kind of what is interesting to me. On the Ricochet announce coming out to ring, show some love for Ricochet is part of his ring introduction. And to me, it's those small differentiators from everyone else that add up to getting someone over. I think Ricochet has done the best work of his career the past few months in AEW. When I used to watch him in WWE, I'd watch him cut promos and I could just feel he's in his head. That's where the energy is. He's thinking about it. Now he's more embodied. He's living, or he's fully embodying the character work, meaning I believe it more. I feel it more. It's wonderful.
Yeah. And
yeah, no, I totally agree. I want to say, like, this is the best he's ever been, really. Like, his wrestling has always been great, but I feel like watching him in AEW is so refreshing as this evil guy, this guy. He's just really mad. People are calling him bald, so he wants to stab people in the face with some scissors. You know, it's the tale as old as time. You know, leave him alone. Bald king, stand up. You know, I support also, like, Mark Briscoe's bald too.
Exactly. That's the point. And it works. It works. And Ricochet even, like, called this out during the match. Like, he's bald too, but yet something so seemingly small and dumb, it's another hook for fans to get invested in the Ricochet character. It's good. It's good stuff.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Shivani was back. His next interview subjects was going to be FTR, but first out is the returning Stokely Hathaway, who calls out the top guys and introduces FTR. Hathaway is now their agent, and he explains that they were fined and suspended in a company where Darby Allin has set people on fire. Hangman Page has committed arson. Ricochet comes and shanks people each week with scissors. And Jon Moxley has committed, quote, acts of terrorism. It's unjust. I will have your suspension expunged from your record and your fine reimbursed. And the man was not telling any lies here. And Cash Wheeler gets on the mic. He says it was very hard to do what we did to Daniel Garcia. As for 2.0, they wanted a fight. We gave them one. And then Dax mentions that we have some legends in the house. It's the Rock and Roll Express coming off the Senior Scramble, and they are brought out to the ring. And Dax was just being so obnoxious here. He's pointing out to Ricky Morton where the hard cam is and goes to ask, what's your favorite match? And he just does the brother love where he just takes the mic away. He's answering for him. He thinks it was the match in Philly against the Midnight Express, who were better, by the way. Then he makes fun of their age, guessing that they're 108. And Morton finally grabs the mic, stating, we will not be embarrassed here, which I didn't know what the prognostication was going to play out here. And Hathaway shows off their FTR's new shirts that read "Living Legend Killers" and thus attack Morton and Gibson. Gibson just takes the safest bump into the corner. He wasn't doing anything outside of his comfort zone. While Morton, you can take the spike pile driver, and he did by FTR before the Paragon ran down to clear the ring. So Morton and Gibson, quite the week for them. And no carry Morton here, Braden.
No, that, maybe that's to come. Maybe he joins the group.
He'd fit in well with this FTR. Can't do his promos on TV, even AEW television, but regardless here. What do you like the pairing with FTR with Stokely?
Yeah, this kind of got me off guard a little bit because I think Dax especially been cutting a lot of promos. Maybe he's cut too many that people were like, maybe stop a little bit. So they go in this other direction. And I always thought Dax was pretty good on the mic in some of his promos in the last little while. So as in the last few years in AEW specifically, but this kind of is interesting. Like a big manager for a big team saying, I'm going to bring them back to prominence here, bring them back to some success. So it's kind of old school. I don't know. I feel like deja vu here. They've attacked these guys before, or someone's attacked them recently. These guys just don't show up to AEW shows anymore because you're going to get attacked essentially. So I'm interested to see where it goes. We need some sort of fresh coat of paint for FTR, and I guess Stokely will be this attempt. But bigger question is, do I like the name Paragon? What is that? What is the deal with that one? I have questions about what first of all, what does that word even mean? But anyways.
Well, it's a work in progress, perhaps.
Yeah.
I am intrigued by this Stokely FTR pairing. However, FTR, I think to Braden's, like, for me, it's, they go back and forth heel and face fairly regularly. It seems they've been around long enough that the Stokely addition is at least novel. So I'm interested to see how it works out. And he's highly talented. And I just think he hasn't had something at a significant level to really sink his teeth into. So this feels like it has good potential.
All right, I'm going to do my best on this next one. It's the Young Bucks against Speedball Mike Bailey and Kevin Knight. So early on, they get the advantage on Bailey. And this, by the way, is the Young Bucks' first AEW match since October. They've done the two New Japan matches up until this point. But they've been essentially their lightest schedule in quite some time. They get the advantage on Bailey. Knight gets knocked off the apron. And then they build up to the tag to Kevin Knight, who I just thought, really everyone looked great in this match, but I've been so impressed with how they've introduced Kevin Knight, and he feels like he's really grabbing hold here in this company and not just someone that they've signed, comes in, has a standout match, and then kind of just falls into the background. I think they're doing a great focus on him. So we get some of the highlights here included the double stomp to the back of Knight, who is draped on the top rope, so he bounces off into a sit-out powerbomb by Matt. All of them are in, and there's just super kicks to everyone. Then it's Knight doing a kip-up with Matt and takes him down with a lariat, and then Speedball and Nick go up to their feet, and they get into this crazy, they each go for spinning roundhouse kicks, and then all four are down again. So the crowd is cheering all of this. Knight would hit his UFO splash. Matt tackles Bailey to break it. And then this was nuts. They have Kevin Knight on the floor, hoisted on Matt's shoulders, and Nick runs across the barricade into a doomsday device on him. Then Bailey tries for the golden triangle to the floor, is caught and hit with a Meltzer driver off the barricade, where it looked like Nick just destroyed his tailbone coming down on this. So Bailey's out. They hit the EV or go for the EVP trigger, and Knight ducks it, does a backflip kick, double DDT, and then it's Ricochet running down, grabbing the leg of Kevin Knight. It causes a distraction, and then he is hit with the EVP trigger, and the Bucks win. Super, super match. I mean, this was tough to recap, but Yeah, Brain. I just thought this was an excellent match, and I didn't even mind the Ricochet involvement here. They're building to this match with Kevin Knight. Look at this photo. Look with Ricochet in the background. That's quite the photo there.
Ricochet is not quite a bald king, but he's a bald prince. You know, he's like Stanley Tucci level. He's not quite, you know, Jason Statham level. But shout out the bald prince showing up. But this match woke me up. This was awesome. I was so wrestled out after like a long week of watching hours and hours of professional wrestling, WrestleMania weekend. But when I saw this match announced, I kind of knew. I was like, the Bucks are going to want to have a little prove some. They're going to have a little chip on their shoulder. And maybe it was the few people. The mic'd crowd was weird tonight, maybe because it was a smaller crowd. But you could
specifically where it was like one guy you heard yelling, especially. Oh, I have some notes for him later. Yeah, there was it was just the positioning of the mic, and there was some dude that's just yelling, and all of it was getting caught, and it was just terrible. Grating at a certain point. It was during one of the promo segments we'll get to.
Yeah, but I thought it was the Bucks stepping up and proving, hey, look, don't forget about us. And they've done such a good job with Kevin Knight and Speedball since coming into AEW. So woke me up. I was like, this felt like the old Young Bucks, the old classic, like go balls to the wall, hit all these crazy moves, the Meltzer drivers. And I think even though Kevin Knight got pinned, they're definitely doing a good job of making him like a household name when it comes to AEW programming. So yeah, definitely this one made me go, okay, all right, this AEW is gonna have, they had a WrestleMania weekend last weekend, they're gonna have to try to do some things, and they did the things. I thought,
Jordan, they wanted to top their Supercard of Honor 12 performance.
Couldn't tell you what that was, but I would say tonight this match felt like a pay-per-view opening match. I really enjoyed it, and Knight and Speedball can hang with this style. I think this style of match is one of the good differentiators that sets them apart from WWE. You don't see this type of match style with regularity in WWE. And the Speedball Knight pairing, I think it works well. I think each have relative strengths, so the pairing can help one another level up. Again, relatively new baby faces, and this company sometimes has trouble introducing characters strongly. And then where's the follow-up? So I think the pairing with them, I think they can help each other. Nitpicking, but perhaps for good reason. Yes, that Meltzer driver off the barricade was really impressive, but the crowd was really into it. And then they followed up with the BTE trigger, and they're still engaging the audience to chant with them. And again, I guess it's perhaps a matter of philosophy with psychology, but Speedball and Knight are relatively unknown to this fan base. They're quote unquote undercard plucky baby faces trying to get over. And I think when the Bucks draw some of the fanfare to them, perhaps it's some energy that could have gone to getting the baby faces even more over.
We go backstage to Renee with Toni Storm to promote her appearance at the TCM Film Fest this weekend, but notes she will not be spending the weekend, quote, cucking around, but instead will hold an open challenge on Collision. So if any bitch has the itch, and that was Queen Aminata who accepted this open challenge for Saturday. And they are taping Collision tonight in New Orleans, so we will have that lineup. This will be after the NBA playoffs air on Saturday on TNT.
What a great name. Playoff Palooza this Saturday after
alliteration.
NBA. I don't want to step on your toes, John, but you also breezed by a very important Christian Cage segment earlier on.
Oh, did I let's go back, cuz I did miss this.
Christian Cage told the world that he banged Wayne's mom.
Yeah, let's go back. This was before the first match of the show. I missed this. Renee was with the Patriarchy, and yes, they explained Nick Wayne, the youngest champion in the company's history, and Christian takes credit and puts the ROH television belt over his shoulder and said, "I forced you to step out of your shell and to become what I knew you could," and says, "Yes, me and your mother celebrated your win extensively last week," which I think is the first time in the storyline that we are now like openly stating that Christian is screwing Nick Wayne's mom.
Oh, so finally, yeah.
And yeah, Wayne says,
I love this. This is Nick Wayne's mom's got it going on. Maybe this is finally something they wanted to reveal to the world. And I like this.
maybe that could have been a, if Joe Hendry was in this, he could have done probably a parody of Nick Wayne's mom.
It works really well.
Wayne says, Wayne just totally like just overlooks this line by Christian. He's just like, he must be of
you already.
He's like, I figured. So Wayne says, when you stick to a plan, you actually win titles. And Christian does hand the belt back to Christian. So that was that segment there as they continue things.
Great stuff.
Are you satisfied now? We have established
I just wanted to make sure everyone knew Christian was banging his mom. Kayfabe wise, of course.
We got it. The Hurt Syndicate is out next, and they go through that all the teams we've beaten, they're all gone. But MVP did go out of his way to put over the Gates of Agony. They're hungry young lions, but their time is just not now. And an MVP, MJF pulls up in this expensive looking car in the parking area and hands the keys to the valet and gives him a nut shot and comes out stating, I know you guys had a great time last week with the women and you can have a great time for the rest of your lives. All I need are three thumbs up. And MVP, he continues to put his thumb up. Benjamin, he's unsure, but he puts the thumbs up. But then explains it's not because of the broads or the money. It's because of this man, MVP. And before Lashley is going to render his vote, MJF makes a plea to Bob, stating that I know this place better than anyone. I know how to cut corners, and says we won't just run AEW. We will run professional wrestling. And then reluctantly apologizes and offers him the car that he drove in if you give me the thumbs up. And this is when the fan, who is Mike, just yells, it's a rental. And he's just yelling throughout this promo. And it was really annoying. It was just, I think, the positioning of this microphone. So Lashley says, I want to go see the car. So they go backstage and Shelton and Lashley get into the car. Lashley's behind the wheel and holds up his thumb, puts it down and drives off with the car. So Stokely can now add Grand Theft Auto to the crimes committed by AEW performers. And MVP reminds MJF his advice, give the people what they want. So he's basically lost this car in his negotiating.
Yeah, but it might work out for him, right? This is giving me like the Sami Zayn bloodline vibes now, where it's like there's an outsider who really wants the other guys to, and for some reason this is going to really get over with the crowd.
I think it's already
somehow.
Over. I think people are really getting into this. Like,
I got into it. I really liked it. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels, Jordan, like an MJF story that people are finally sinking their teeth into after he's had some rough goes with various programs.
And I think this has been like a slow boil. This was the first night with this current pairing between Hurt Syndicate and MJF that I'm like, all right, I'm kind of interested to see how this goes. Past few weeks, not so much. Before we were talking about AEW growing their fan base, drawing more fans. Now, obviously, there's previous AEW fans that could come back. But again, also, especially with this tie-in with college basketball previously, NBA playoffs coming up, hopefully we are bringing new fans into the fold. So at least a way that I think about this stuff is, are these fully formed characters? Can we very easily convey who each character is, what their motivations are, what they're all about? MVP starting the promo. We are the Hurt Syndicate and we hurt people. Boom. These guys look like badasses. It's succinct. It's easy for a new viewer to understand. Then cut to MJF. Shot of the Burberry shoes. You get the luxury card and you dick punch the valet. I understand what this guy is about and I'm interested in it. I think wonderful character work. I think it's more just the mix between Hurt Syndicate and MJF has felt a little wonky to me. It's getting better, I think. And I think the thumbs up, thumbs down is also simple storytelling that the crowd is obviously biting onto.
They're really, it is the slow boil. And I think at this point, like they are building, when Lashley puts that thumb up, it's going to get a huge reaction. Like that was my takeaway tonight, is like they are letting this simmer. And when that happens, I think the arena is going to go nuts. Like instead of this just being this thrown together thing that we do in a week or two and you expect a turn, like they've actually made people like want to see this happen and are that much more into it. And And I think it'd be foolish to just do a turn so quickly. Like, I think you should let this run for a little bit and see the chemistry these four can have while they're all a unit together.
What does MJF have to do to get Lashley to put the thumbs up? What would you have to do, John, if I said, come on, let me in, let me join? What would be the thing? Like, does MJF have to beat Bobby Lashley at Double or Nothing? Maybe something happens to Shelton where he can't make the tag title match, so MJF takes his place and helps him retain, and then finally Bobby's like, all right, maybe. So he's got to do something to impress him.
They haven't explained how, but they're definitely indicating, and they'll get into this later with this segment, that MJF somehow, if he gets into the Hurt Syndicate, he gets this title shot. They have to explain how that happens, but let's go with this, that he gets into the Hurt Syndicate, and he is provided this title shot, and his inclusion is contingent that Lashley gets the title shot. That's his demand. You want in? I get your title shot.
Okay.
It's something. I don't know.
I'm into this.
Renee is speaking with Hangman Page, and he says when he sees Kyle Fletcher, he's going to get his hands on him. The match is happening next week in Norfolk, Virginia. MJF walks in, calls him an inbred for his new haircut, and makes a crap. And then Page says, yeah, where's your car? It's like, not a good comeback. And MJF says, this is where he explains that once I get into the Hurt Syndicate, I'll get my title shot rather than having to go through the Owen like you are. And MJF points out, we are 1-1, and next time I will send you to the glue factory. Paige, you're a great wrestler, but if you make it to the final of the Owen, you'll do what you do best, and that is choke. So I think it's very safe to assume that Hangman Page is going to the finals against Will Ospreay. That would be my thought, and that's a really big match for Double or Nothing. And yeah, it is interesting. They are keeping MJF and Page sort of in this on this back burner and reminding you they're 1-1 and that they could revisit this at some point. It's not like this linear thing where it's like you're a top guy and this is your one program. It's like they are spreading out multiple programs among a lot of your key people at the moment, which can have its positives and negatives. But overall, I kind of like the fact that you can do this, like these people that go into each other's different worlds, and when they cross, so it's like you have the history and they're acknowledging it, and it goes into like what we saw in the first segment with all these different like ships crossing in the night with Omega and Swerve with the Bucks and Okada and the Death Riders, and just keeping track of like all these different, you know, feuds that are acknowledged.
So I'm like not that. As
you, like, when you do that, it makes it seem like the show continues on because you don't know where everything could ever go. It's good to have these like moving pieces in the stories. I really like it.
I agree. And because of that, I'm not as confident that Hangman goes on. I mean, the Fletcher Ospreay match is a built in storyline there. But theoretically, just say it is Hangman. So Hangman Ospreay. John, who wins and then we assume goes on to dethrone Mox at All In?
I feel at this point, I think there's a good chance that you could put Hangman in there at this point, like the way they're building this. I think everyone's expecting Ospreay, but you also have like Forbidden Door in England in August. And I think like they're looking at Ospreay, like that is going to be the ultimate coronation at a later date. That would be my thought right now. But more importantly, I think with Hangman and Ospreay, you get like 3+ weeks of like everyone that'll be arguing back and forth of like what, like you can conceivably see either guy winning, where I don't think you get that same dynamic with Fletcher going to the finals with Ospreay.
That's a huge pay-per-view match, to be honest. Hangman versus Ospreay, that sells it for me right away. That sounds like an awesome match of the year candidate. And I think at this point, AEW fans, we don't care if it's Ospreay, Hangman, Ricky Morton, someone just please take that title. I guess not Ricky after tonight. Please just take the title. I think the layup would be just you're doing Ospreay. But if you continue to just tease your fans and give Ospreay finally that win next year at Wembley, I think it would make it feel like him finishing his story in a kind of way. So in a way, maybe Hangman is the cowboy winning in Texas.
In Texas. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeehaw. That's a wonderful buildup. Look, I think Ospreay would be a wonderful top babyface for this promotion. He really has a wonderful connection emotionally with the audience, on top of obviously consistently phenomenal matches. But Hangman, he's been there since the beginning. He's been there even before the beginning with the ROH produced All In 2018. He was a part of that. He's part of the Elite. This was the formation of AEW. I Wikipedia'd some of this during the show, but Double or Nothing 2019, AEW's first pay-per-view. Who opened that? It was a battle royal won by Hangman, eliminating MJF at the end of it. You go on to the next pay-per-view, the first in the Dynamite era. It's Hangman versus Jericho for the inaugural World Championship. Hangman doesn't get it done. So if we're thinking back on just the history of this promotion, in many ways, it's the story of Hangman Page. And I think All In Texas would be like a wonderful full circle moment for him and the promotion.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Next up was Will Ospreay and Brody King against Konosuke Takeshita and Josh Alexander. So Ospreay and Takeshita tease starting the match, but then Josh Alexander jumps Ospreay, so they get a two-on-one advantage. King, at one point, he would be in, and he'd tag out just chopping Ospreay. And Alexander got in a lot of offense here, sending Ospreay to the floor. They work on him, selling the ankle. And then Alexander sends King's knee into the steps. There's a Blue Thunder Bomb on Ospreay. King hits the big cannonball. And this is when Lance Archer shows up, distracting Bryce. And King knocks Archer off the apron. Ospreay takes him out with a suicide dive. And it's Alexander who stops the springboard with a forearm to Will into the power bomb, double rolling elbows with him and Takeshita. And then after a power drive knee and a CR spike, they pin Brody King and keep Josh Alexander and Konosuke Takeshita in the win column here. And then in the post-match, Archer would get involved, choke-slamming Ospreay. Kyle Fletcher comes out. And then Hangman, who has spotted Kyle Fletcher, comes for him and gets jumped by Trent and Rocky Romero. So we get the full Don Callis family, which are now, including Don Callis, seven strong. This is suddenly a gigantic group.
How many people are in this? Don, stop, man. What are you doing? You have enough people. That was a bit excessive with Rocky and Trent now coming out. Like, oh, man, I forgot who they were for a second there. I'm just happy. Toronto boy, shout out the walking weapon, Josh Alexander, with impressive AEW debut. And then now this tag match here, Takeshita being my favorite wrestler currently, and now inserting, you know, someone that I know very well from watching in the Ontario indie scene for many, many years, and finally seeing him on TV here in AEW is just awesome. And he's doing his finest, and I'm sure he will be a household name when it comes to AEW if you're not familiar with him. And shout out Northern Crown Wrestling here in Toronto. But this was awesome. I love Takeshita and him going off on Ospreay and King. And I don't know what my favorite match of the night, but both the tag matches tonight had my interest and really kept me into both these shows. But I don't know about how I feel about Rocky and Trent and Lance. I think, Don, you know, at this point, you might be able to trim some fat, because Takeshita, Fletcher, and Alexander, those are the three kings, like, right there, that I really love to watch every time. And I think they're doing some great stuff. So this was a really fun match, and you could go off with so many different directions in this. And last thing, call me crazy, but would now be a right time to do a very pro Canadian gimmick for Josh Alexander? I think you could get him booed with the Don Callis connection, him being Canadian, in most of the American cities. And then when you come back, it's like when MJF would go to Long Island, except you'd get cheered like Brett and everything. So I hope we do go maybe in a little bit that direction. But yeah, I was excited about this.
The business done here is one of the reasons why I'm not as confident that Hangman wins next week, because in a sense, you set up like a Hangman Trent feud, if not just and again, the business was to spotlight Hangman and Fletcher next week. wonderful main event. I love them doing this. Now, I realized the Baltimore show I went to a couple weeks ago, it was coming off a pay-per-view. I don't think any matches were announced until the very night before. So talk about selling advanced tickets. You're not doing yourself any favors there. At least for the next 7 days, you have two characters in Fletcher and Hangman. I think the people are behind. It's a big match, big stakes, and it gives fans and talking heads like something to chew on for the next 7 days. I think it's good business. The pile driver that Josh Alexander gave to Brody King at the end, like for me, just personally, that was like a big step forward for Josh Alexander. I have to ask though, what happened to Buddy Matthews?
He got hurt on the Australia show back in February. So he's been out since then. Yeah.
All right. I appreciate that. Cause I know with, you know, Malakai Black leaving, it just seems like for someone like a Brody King, I see tremendous upside for him, but it just seems like there's so much start and stop with some of these characters. Thinking what was the plan for Powerhouse Hobbs 2 weeks ago? And again, it's these talent who have so much upside, who the fans I think want to get behind, and sometimes it's hard to invest because things don't play out. Brody King being positioned as a babyface, like I like it, and I hope there's more of it.
Yeah, I think like that's kind of your middle tier guys. Hobbs being a perfect candidate for it. Like it was, I'm fortunate that it was because of like, you know, Hook's situation, but it got him into like this really good spot that is probably like the best spot for him at this point, just given like the depth of everything. And, you know, in a singles role, he gets forgotten a lot. And in this trio spot, it does link him to, you know, that trio's division. And I think for him, like it's overall like a very positive step for him. And then we have the main event with Chris Statlander and Jamie Hayter, semifinals of the Owen Hart Cup, the winner to face Mercedes at Double or Nothing, and a first-time singles match, they note. Early, Statlander goes for a moonsault off the apron, but misses the target and lands on the floor as they go to break. Statlander comes back after several choke attempts and runs with a double knees to the back of the head. She gets hit with the Hate Breaker, but then stops Hayter, slams her in front of the turnbuckle, and it's Statlander with a 450 splash for a two count, and Hayter pulls Statlander off the turnbuckle into a short arm clothesline right in midair, calls for the Haterade, lands it, and it's Jamie Hayter getting the win. And after, Mercedes walks out and they just stare at one another, and it's like 10 o'clock on the dot, so really no overrun here like usual. And this kind of just felt like an abrupt finish to the show. It was like they just had this long stare. And then when Mercedes was done, she's like, okay, I'm walking to the back now. And it's like, okay, that's the show. I thought it was a fine match. I certainly didn't think it was coming off those two tag matches at that level. I was a little underwhelmed given who the two were here in this match for in a main event slot as well. But Jamie Hayter does advance, and yeah, we will get her and Mercedes in the final next month.
Braden, if I can ask you, so the three of us were at Full Gear in Newark, New Jersey, a handful of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
For me, that was kind of like peak fan interest in Jamie Hayter. And Braden, you were one of those people with Davey on your feet dancing to her entrance. Like, that's one of the things. Yes, I remember
that. She can confirm this. She's seen the video. She has responded to the video after that. Later that night, she said she was a fan of our dancing. As we, was it flossing? We flossed to her entrance. Her theme still bangs, by the way. It's still great. But yeah, I felt like this match maybe was rushed or something. It didn't hit maybe the way I thought it was. But her, like I said, her theme song is still good. But
well, yeah, I think her
something's passed, right? Like, it feels different with Jamie now.
Well, that's why I'm curious about your connection to her as a fan. I think the return has been underwhelming, to say the least. So you were someone who you were all in on Jamie Hayter, at least on that night. Like, what's the emotional connection at this point for you?
It's nowhere near that at all. And I don't know what it is. Like, this match wasn't bad by any means, but it didn't necessarily blow me away to some of the stuff I've seen from her before. Maybe it's right now because they are focused on other things that they can't necessarily just push her back to the moon. But hopefully we can get her back into the, like, you know, the stratosphere she was in, like the popularity, and you could go back to Tony. And I don't know what it is to bring her back, but something is different, right? Like I was, that injury, definitely the time off, maybe it affected it. I can't quite put my finger on it.
Well, hope. Sorry, John. First of all, at least for me, I felt little emotional connection to both. With both, it's kind of tough face first face dynamic here. Okay, Hader certainly, I think, should have been the one, a fresher opponent for title picture and with Mercedes. Again, another small production thing, but I think it's meaningful. You bring Mercedes out, her music is playing. You have this extended kind of face-off from ring and ramp. But then they switch back to Hader's music to end the show. So the spotlight is fully on Jamie Hader as we go out. My hope is that over the next handful of weeks building up to this eventual match, they really invest in good character work, good storytelling to really reconnect the fan base back to Jamie Hader and give fans something to root for during this match.
I completely agree. Like when I saw these brackets at the beginning, I thought like this is the tournament to really get Jamie Hader back to a prominent position. Going so far as like to potentially winning this tournament. Like I think you will kind of run into, I think, a lot of fans that are going to want to see Toni Storm and Mercedes as sort of like the big battle of champions. And you have to, I think, get people to want to see Jamie Hader win this. And I think they do have their work cut out for them to focus more on, you know, her being out for so long and tell that story and why this is so important to her. You've got the time because you've set up this final. We literally have a month before Double or Nothing. So use that to your advantage for Jamie Hader and make this feel like a big match for Jamie and for Monet next month. So there you go. That was Dynamite. You know, I didn't think anything was going to be at the level of last week's Dynamite, but I think overall you got two really excellent matches in the two tags. Like Ricochet Mark Briscoe was a very good match as well on top of that. A little underwhelming for the main event, but I thought overall still like a pretty strong episode that we got of Dynamite. Like if this is your kind of like a mid-tier Dynamite, it was a pretty satisfying one for me. And not just like match quality. I thought like a lot of their stories seem to be hitting now in terms of a lot of the others. It would be, you know, kind of like hit and miss of what would connect like non-wrestling segments. And I think they are getting a better handle on this. And the MJF, the Hurt Syndicate is an example of that.
Agreed. Am I wrong in feeling that four matches, like 2 an hour, is on the low side for this company?
Yeah. I mean, you usually, five is usually around the number. This was noteworthy to me. But I like, if you're going to allot some more time, and this also didn't have an overrun either. Like, usually you're getting like 8 to 10 minutes after the hour. And this, like, they were off like a minute or two after the top of the hour. So it was actually a shorter Dynamite than usual.
Yeah, like, I liked the flow of this.
Mm-hmm. Last week's was one of the best Dynamites, hands down. One of the best matches of the year so far with the Takeshita Osprey. But this week had some interest, and I noticed that there was a lot more promos. But then also hearing the crowd being as into the MJF Hurt People stuff, that it actually is like maybe they need to do this. Because, yeah, everyone can put on good matches right now, but you need to make us care about it. And like when they do connect sometimes like this MJF stuff, it does get people interested and invested. But I thought this was a pretty solid episode. I was totally wrestled out, like I said, but they got me back. I was like, all right, Young Bucks are trying to prove something. Josh Alexander's on my screen teaming with Takeshita. All right, you got me, Tony. So I was locked in, and I'm definitely looking forward to Double or Nothing. Like, kind of looking at some of these brackets, the pay-per-view could be pretty solid. And today I realized, John, it's the same day as NXT Battleground on a Sunday. So I'll be having to make a decision pretty quickly of what the hell we're going to do. Cause I do want to watch both of these shows, but
they're both on the Saturday, right?
They're both on the Sunday, May 26th, Sunday. Battleground, gotcha. And Double or Nothing. So we have a bit of a tradition getting the boys together here at the BDE. I still call it the BDE. And now we're like, oh no. So there's going to be a lot of wrestling on that one Sunday in later May. But yeah,
Do you realize what? That beach break that they're promoting, the Moxley Samoa Joe match, that's a 4-hour beach break that they are doing on Wednesday night.
Yeah. Did we mention that they announced Samoa Joe and John Moxley? Like, that's a pretty big, solid TV match. Like, I think that would get some people's attention right there. Like, I can't necessarily recall if they've fought or interacted. I'm sure if they did, it was in AEW, but like, that sounds pretty cool. Is there any chance we get Joe taking it before All In? I don't think anyone's going to see that coming, but we're going to hope.
And no, then is this one or 2 weeks before the pay-per-view?
It's like 10 days before the pay-per-view. So, I mean, you would figure they're probably doing like your Anarchy in the Arena or something with the Death Riders. And I just can't see them turning around and building up a title program on like 10 days notice after this. And just the way that these angles are going, it does suggest like you're 5-on-5 or whatever numbers you're going to have. This to me is like, this is a solid TV match and you're giving it enough time to promote it. And it is going to be a very interesting test to see like 4 hours of television and in the middle of the week on top of that. So, I mean, this will probably be a pretty loaded card that they're going to do.
So from 8 till 12 is when this is going on a Wednesday night.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Yes.
Wow.
Presumably then, I think it's good creative. I don't think anyone's truly buying that Joe is the one to beat Mox. So again, it's how many pay-per-views in a row does Mox headline in a singles match that he's not going to lose? So again, build to TV. Hopefully we get a good rating and hook people to hang around maybe 2 hours later after this match, if there's compelling creative to stick around for. That only can help. I think this was Now Arena in the Chicago area.
Yep.
I believe.
Yep.
Okay. So that's not a small arena. So it helps
everywhere.
So it helps bring people there. And then if it's Anarchy in the Arena, okay, great. I think a match type like that fans buy into, and something that at least for me personally would hook me to order the pay-per-view.
All right, everybody. Well, so Braden did detox after Wrestling Overload, but he fell off the wagon tonight. We're going to say goodbye to everyone on the YouTube channel, but we're going to continue on the cafe with some feedback, and then we'll do a couple minutes just chatting about Dark Side of the Ring. As we say goodbye to all the free audience as well, I want to give you guys the floor to tell everyone where they can get more of Braden and Jordan together as they detox over on Poison Rana and everything else you've got going on. Braden, you're a busy man.
Oh, we'd like to detox once a month, me and Jordan, right? We do a show where we don't plan much. We just go in, hit record, and goof off, and let you detox from the things going on in your life as we discuss, I don't know, sometimes current things. We discuss silly things. We get down to the nitty-gritty, and we like to have fun. So if you enjoyed us listening to us, you can catch us once a month on the Poison Rana free feed with a detox where I think we've talked about wrestling like once. We never usually talk about wrestling on that show. So
yeah, I think I once described it to my mom as a stream of consciousness chat where we talk about everything from the nature of consciousness to jerking off.
Okay. Well,
aliens and
you run the gamut.
Yeah,
we really do. But poisonrana.ca, give us a follow, Poison Rana Pod, Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, all those things. And check out, we have tons of shows on the free feed. Davey and I are taking the week off, but we usually have a Poison Rana Live where we talk about AEW and WWE and everything. And then the Patreon, we've done WrestleMania 9 review, WrestleMania 18 recently, a best match ever, Triple H, and tons of movie reviews and so much. So check us out if you haven't already, because we like to podcast. We like to have a fun time. And one day in the next year, we're going to get you on, John, for Home Alone 3. So don't worry. Come December, it's going to happen. We're going to do it. We'll get you on. So appreciate the invite. Anytime you need to chat AEW, I'm always down to do that. So it was a nice time. And thank you all the postmarks out there.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax?
Sorry, Did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.